Hello and welcome to Pardon H Minisode.
And we're back in Andy's wrestling corner.
Yay!
After, what is it? It seems like a month now.
Yes. We were supposed to record this, two weeks ago.
2 weeks ago. I had to postpone it.
Yeah, that's fine. You know what? That's fine. We've covered that.
On the main feed, of course.
Of course. Is this the main feed? Yeah,
I think it's the main feed, but it's our. Yeah. It's not our Simpsons episode.
It's not our Simpsons con.
Tent.
So we are at Survivor Series 2001.
Before we get into this, let's do a quick check-in. How have you been?
I've been well, Terry. I've been well.
You know what I found out this week from a couple of people at work? That Wicklow is a wet county.
I beg your pardon?
It means you could rock into a pub, order yourself a pint, without food, maybe a bag of crisps if you liked, and the government can't do a thing about it.
Huh.
Whereas,
I did not know that.
Well, yeah, somebody said, I think they're out walking their dog and they stopped in for a pint. And I was like, oh, what food do you get? Are they do nice food? And they're like, food? No, it's grand. It's just a pub. Like, we're allowed to go to bars in here. I was like,
brilliant.
Motherfucker.
And I don't think I've been in one pub since I've moved down here.
I believe
I've gone to a few.
The Wicklow Arms, was that one of them you called? Or?
The Arklow Bay.
That's the
hotel.
One. Yeah, same thing. A hotel, no less.
Oh, it's lovely, though. That's where I watched the Europa League final when Liverpool lost 3-1 to Sevilla. By myself. What a horrible night. there's something really like weird about like celebrating in like a public place that's not like predominantly there to watch the match. Like people are enjoying their meal,
and they're
like Sturridge scored that goal with the outside of the boot. Remember, like, and I was like, and then tits up after that. Anyway,
it sure did.
But I tell you, I'm at the end of a very busy month in work. We had 9 conferences this month. And we'd never done any virtually or online before, and I must say I am wasn't a question of if it was even that you interrupt. Go on.
Oh, now Andy,
what is it?
It's funny, we were having a conversation off air about a certain face that was being pulled.
Yes.
And I said it was Side-Eye. Well, that's the name of the pale ale that I'm drinking.
Oh, you planned this.
I actually didn't. How serendipitous.
Excellent word.
Thank you. It is a Mikkeller Side-Eye.
Sorry? Excuse me?
M-I-K-K-E-L-L-E-R. Mikkeller Side-Eye pale ale.
That's disgusting, that word.
Why? Mikkeller?
Because... You always think you're going to pronounce it.
Hey, look.
I don't like that at all.
Your little friend's on the can. See, he lights up your beer.
Just drink it.
Oh, yeah.
Come on now.
Oh, I like that.
Terry, it's written all over your face.
I like that.
What do you got in this? Why are you protecting them? If it's shit, tell me it's shit. I can see it written all over your face.
I like that. The first one was a bit tart, but it kind of has some weird flavors going on here.
I don't want that much going on in my drink. I want to know what I'm getting every time.
I want
start, middle, and end.
I want a bag of lion's tea.
I'm a Barry's man as well.
Gold or green?
Black.
Oh, look at you.
You like that?
No. Black.
Yeah.
What's the classic blend? Explain it to somebody who does not drink tea.
You poor naive fool.
You rube.
You clod. It's just a difference in... It's a taste thing.
It's
a Jersey thing.
It's a Jersey thing.
How have you been yourself?
Yeah, pretty good. I am glad. I'll be glad to see the back of September, is what I'll say. You know?
You and me both.
So.
Terry, keep talking. I just have to close the door in the room. The cat's open.
Close the door. Da da da. Don't let the sun go down. Okay. So where are we? Okay, yeah, that's what I want to do. Survivor Series.
Yes.
2001.
Now, cards on the table here, Terry and the listener. I watched this about 3.5 weeks ago, I have watched a lot of the rest of the storyline since, so I'm probably going to be jumping around a little bit and forgetting things.
That's so fine. Like it has been a while since I watched this, so maybe it won't be as in-depth, match by match. But, you know, we could just talk about our general feel about it.
We'll just have some fun with it.
Yeah, exactly. I did like leading up to it. That I always remember like the video was like DTA stands for Don't Trust Austin.
Yeah,
and it did seem to be like even like Vince cutting the promo was like, "I'm sick of this alliance crap." It's like him actually saying, "I'm fed up with this storyline." Like, you know,
that was legitimate Vince. Like, yeah, he was sick of this alliance crap.
It's like, we're finishing it now.
I have to say, I don't think it's been as
as much of a train wreck.
Yeah, as much a train wreck as I thought. Now, Terry, I'm so sorry about this, but what? I have some...
What are you doing over there?
I'm sorry. Give me 1 second. I'm sorry.
This is unbelievable, folks. He's banging around. I can hear his mic making noise. I don't know. So what are you guys up to? Nothing? Well, look, while we're here, I guess we can plug what's coming up on our Patreon this week. And I tell you, it's a doozy. We've been blowing our horns about it all month. But we're finally...
I can't apologize enough.
Well, you just cut me off when I was telling the good folks about what's coming on our Patreon this week. It's our Beatlemania episode.
Terry, I've been buzzing all day to talk about the Beatles.
We were going to do the Dreamcast one, but card is subject to change, as Vince McMahon would say, and... Let's just say we couldn't keep a lid on our Beatlemania any longer.
Yes. Plus, I feel like my Dreamcast thing needs a rework. And I figured, I said to Terry,
picture in turnaround.
I've got like maybe 3 minutes tops of content. So I thought I'm not ready for this. Even though we were supposed to do it 2 weeks ago.
And have you picked the screenwriter and who's going to produce the movie as well?
I've got it all, Terry.
So I want Robert Evans producing.
But what I was saying anyway, before I so rudely interrupted you and proceedings, is that I don't think it was as much of a train wreck. Like, it was certainly like... could have been handled way better, and they could have given someone, bar Booker T, some heat,
and Rob Van Dam.
Rob Van Dam. I take umbrage
with when you say heat.
Oh, because please do tell.
When you say heat, I think of like fan heat or like, you know, backstage heat. Now, fan heat is like bad, like boo.
Oh
yeah, if you have heat with the crowd, you're getting booed. If you have heat backstage, you're in trouble.
Oh, why didn't you tell me this week one? I've been making an idiot out of myself.
I noticed it when I was listening to our last episode, or one of our episodes, and you mentioned...
Was it the Marvel one when I made a reference to if someone gets heat and then WWF ruins it?
Yeah, and I was like, that's not right. Maybe I just haven't been listening to you for 7 years.
I wish I knew that in episode one, Terry.
If you say they got a bit of a push, Andy.
Yeah, fine, that's what I mean. Push. But yeah, they could have given someone a push I don't even think they intended on giving Rob Van Dam that big of a push, but he was so over. Is that the correct
term? There you go.
He was so over.
You got
that he just couldn't
Mark.
Ignore it. but it was just like there was no investment in WCW really at all.
It was
they
such
no
a missed
time to...
opportunity, like.
Yeah.
And they didn't have to pull the trigger on it so early. Like, why not wait? Like, I don't know if you know what's coming around the corner in February. Like,
no. Oh, like, I think so. Yeah, I think so.
Do you want me to tell you though?
The NWO stuff.
Yeah. So it's just wait. Like,
you know, like you're doing fine.
What was the rush, you know?
I don't know what it was, like, just... But anyway, I thought it was, like, when I was sort of reflecting on it when I was watching this, and I was like, I mean, like, it's clear, like, no one going into this pay-per-view believes that WCW are going to take over or whatever like that.
Well, you,
like,
look at the main event, and it's like, the teams are Undertaker, Kane, Big Show, Rock and Chris Jericho versus Stone Cold Steve Austin, Kurt Angle, Booker T, Shane McMahon, and Rob Van Dam. It's like, three of them are like,
yeah,
WWF guys, and then your two best WCW is like, all right, okay.
Yeah, it was so padded out, like,
yeah.
I
remember, like, Jericho talking on his podcast, and they were talking about how at the Invasion pay-per-view, who was he fighting against? But it was like, they talked about the main event was, Kane, Undertaker, Austin, Angle, and Jericho. Else. Oh, yeah, he was in the main event. Yeah. That's what it was. Yeah. And then it was like, against like the Dudleys, Rhino, Booker T, and DDP. And then they talked about the Survivor Series, like, oh, that team, they got a little padded out there at the end, huh? Like, and it's like, he's like, well, it just shows you what they thought of how this angle was fucked up. Like,
just nothing. And they've been given, like, DDP's got this new premise where he's all, like, making that shit-eating grin smile, like
that's not a bad thing.
And a good thing. Yeah, it's not a bad thing. Like, and he feuded with, like, nobody. He had this storyline for, like, 5 to 6 weeks before this. I don't think he was actually feuding with anyone. He just kept coming out just being a bit weird, and that was it. And now he's just kind of gone.
And something about just hearing, it's me.
Yeah.
It's DDP. Just brings a smile to my face.
Like, I know. But they tried to cram in too much then, because he was, first they'd go, bang, and then he would say, it's me. I'm like, no, they should pick one.
You got to choose one. You
can't have your cake and eat it too. My first note is, I've watched every episode and I've no idea why Al Snow is facing Christian.
Well, it was on Sunday Night Heat earlier on. Christian took a bit of umbrage with Al Snow. That was the thing I remember. But it was like that match made on Al Snow was on commentary or something, and Christian. So it was like, oh, okay. And I remember, like, Al Snow being so over in the Attitude Era. Like, you're at the tail end of it here, but like 99, 2000, it's like, what does everybody want? Like, they're like,
love it.
Like, Or like remember they showed that clip of ECW with all the heads being thrown into the ring?
Oh yeah.
Fucking dead. Like, I always liked Al Snow.
I never reached the level that the fans in the arena seem to get to.
Well, see,
I think I just love shouting head.
My favorite tag team were, you know, Head Cheese.
Steve Blackman and Al Snow?
Yes, of course.
Head Cheese. Yeah. What a mismatch.
When we went to see Bruce Prichard, that was the question I had. Was like, and I had my hand up, like, if somebody was like, who pitched the idea for the Steve Blackman, Al Snow team, Head Cheese?
Would have been a good one. Do you remember your man asked the question? And he kept asking, like, another question. And everyone was like, oh, like, stop asking. And then the whole place was just like, boo. And he was like, it was big enough that it was, like, uncomfortable. But it was, like, it was in a bar, essentially.
It was in the wool shed upstairs. Yeah. And it was, like, a really hot summer's night as well. So it was, like, we're all, like, sweating. And a bunch of, like, sweaty wrestling fans. Like,
and like, this guy, he was trying to take it in his stride.
A two-part question, like, no two-part questions.
Boo this man.
Fuck him. He's like, you fat piece of shit. I remember a guy got up from beside us and he was like, yeah, questions. And he, you know, everybody was asking from their table.
Yeah.
And he, like, got up and, like, walked really, like, purposely up to the thing. It's like, well, he's got a gun and he's going to, like, shoot him in the head. Like, and he's like, my question's regarding Ronnie Garvin. If he never lost to Ric Flair in the 1988, like Mid-South or whatever.
Fuck
like,
off.
Oh. And then he was like, but, like, he came, like, pretty sure answered the question. He came back and he was like, yeah.
Oh God!
I was turned off.
I was turned off that Bruce Pritchard podcast. I never listened to another episode after that.
I don't listen to him anymore. Only if like I have nothing on my feed that I want to listen to. I'd be like, yeah. Just because he is now like working. He's like head creative. He's head creative in WWE now. Like for both shows, which
That's
is
crazy.
Telling that the shows are dog shit.
I tried to watch one a couple of weeks ago. I was like, oh, let's turn this
I will say Roman Reigns has turned heel. Ooh. And he has Paul Heyman as his manager now.
Oh, that's a good combo.
Since Lesnar has left the company.
Oh, did he leave?
Yeah, I think they like can't afford to keep him on during this pandemic just because his wages are like exorbitant.
Brilliant.
Yeah, so yeah.
Tell you, Brock Lesnar knows how to work the system.
Unbelievable.
He gets like, these amazing deals everywhere he goes. He's like, I don't know if it's Heyman negotiating for him, but
I'm just going to go back to my farm in Canada. Pick up the phone when you want to pay me for $8 million a year or whatever. Like,
that's exactly it.
I go hunting. Like,
no TV. I'll be at the payphone at midday on Saturday. Call me then.
Like, I love the idea of like this. It's like, oh, this guy getting too big break for his britches. Like, it's like rings, and it's like some shopkeeper. Like, hello. It's like, okay, he's due to get his groceries. I'll tell him. It's like, pet, how are you? Like a big sack of feed. Like he's like. Mr. McMahon called. He says he has a job for you, Brock.
How much money are we talking?
He's like, get the plane. He owns his own jet.
Does he?
He bought his own jet when he was like working in WWE.
He didn't want to travel with the riffraff.
He hated flying, apparently. So it was just like, he hated the travel process. So it was like, he bought his own jet, amazing. So he didn't have to go through airports and all that. Like,
brilliant.
And he's making enough money, apparently, even back then, that he could do it. Like,
that's crazy.
Yeah.
He is winning that guy.
He's what an asshole, though.
Is he?
Yeah, he definitely
is. Is he, though?
Yeah, he definitely is. Like,
He might just be misunderstood.
Do you know how he, like, met his wife?
Sable?
Yeah.
Who? Yeah, how?
Yeah, apparently he just, like, kept showing up at her house. You know, when she was like, no, thank
you. They've been together ever since.
Yeah. It's like, okay, it's not, I don't know what it is, but I know what it isn't because she has consented, but like, yeah, something there. Brock, if you're listening, Terry, I'm calling you out.
The guy who's calling you out is Terry. Terry Tone.
Okay.
It's from Keenan again. Yeah. Man, oh, what Kevin. Kind of stuff is that? Kevin. Yeah. Keenan Rockmore put you in jail. Look, my next note to try and veer us, switch gears, as Michael Cole would say.
Christian won, didn't he?
Yeah. But I was thinking, like, they really set the blueprint for Christian as a singles competitor around this time, just starting off with that like inferiority complex, yeah. You know, like he sort of kept that going throughout his career almost. And well, like when he was a heel anyway.
He left for TNA and became their champion at the time. And it was like, whoa, he was like the big star in TNA for a long period. Like,
Right.
And then when he came back to WWE because like they were like, shit, he's really good. Like, and they made him champion and then they were like, nah, you know what, actually, we were right the first time.
I don't
really
feel like keeping him
exactly,
around.
Exactly, like.
Yeah, so Christian won. I don't know how he won. I don't know how he
was European champ. I think at the last show, he lost the Intercontinental title.
Yeah, he won it off, I can't remember who. Doesn't matter, really.
Sean Stasiak, why not?
Yeah, let's just say Mo. We have Vince and Linda backstage. First of all, Linda looking like she just stepped off a yacht. Like this, like white turtleneck and like gold buttoned blazer. Week before on Raw, Linda's just like, Linda and Vince are just back. She just accepted him back with nothing being said.
Has he done the genetic jackhammer thing? Has he put a baby in her? Was that a thing?
Maybe before I started watching.
Maybe
it,
hold on,
not this
see.
Year. Not in my town, dirtbag.
I typed in genetic jackhammer and it's like Vince McMahon, CEO of WWE. yes, hold on. Well, look, it doesn't matter. It says There was summer of 2000. So I think that was when
Yes.
he left, and that's when like Stephanie and Triple H were running the show because he was
I get
back
you.
trying to put a baby in Linda. Yeah.
Now,
Next
I
match was William Regal and
now
DiGiulio.
was it just me, Terry, or was this match littered with mistakes?
Sloppy AF.
It was
Yeah.
lousy with botches.
And what bugs me about it is I like Tajiri, I like Regal, and there was when Tajiri started firing up, the crowd was going crazy.
Yeah.
What bugs me about the end though is Regal does that underhook power bomb.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, okay, and now you flip him into the Regal stretch and you
Yeah.
have it. And he's like, no, he just pins him. And I'm like, that's it?
Yeah. And
Like
that happened a few times. That's been happening a few times around this period, and it happens again later on where it's just like, oh, okay. I guess the match is over then.
Match over. Okay, great.
Yeah. Nothing ending. And it almost looked like Regal was drunk or something. I was going to ask you, I don't know if you knew of if Regal was going through any troubles around this time or what.
I can't remember if he was clean at this time. He had big pro drug issues for a
Yeah.
long time. I'm not even gonna look it up. But it could well be. He looked
'Cause
off. He looked off,
it's
didn't he?
yeah, particularly like I would have expected that to be a pretty good solid match, like with two like real good workers or whatever, but it was absolutely littered. And one other note I have, I don't like the tarantula finisher
It's
that,
not
well,
a
not really a
his
finisher.
finisher.
It's a showpiece.
Yeah, of course it is. You
Like,
can't win. You're actually going to get disqualified if you don't release it.
yeah, you know what I
Yeah.
mean? I just have
I
I
like
it bugs me because I know it's going nowhere. It's just a
his
filler.
finisher is that buzzsaw kick, when you're
Yeah,
on your
and that is
knees.
good. But what else have we got? Okay, so
We
the next.
had Edge versus so WCW champ United States champion Edge. And do we have Intercontinental Champion Test? Help me out here, Cantwell. What I was
Test.
like, when did he win this, and when did Edge win the other one? A month ago, Edge was Intercontinental Champion.
Edge, I think, beat Kurt Angle for the US
When
title.
did he get
I think, wasn't he the US champ at the
No,
last one?
because he was in the Triple Threat for the title, the main, like he was for the WWF title in the
Oh,
last.
I can't keep up. Oh, honestly, though, titles are switching hands
It's
like
so
nothing. There's like five title changes per Raw or SmackDown.
it
Like, it's
fucking
crazy.
bugs me looking back on it.
Yeah. And there's about 12 titles circulating anyway. They try in this to unify some of the titles.
Yeah, good.
Mick Foley came out and gave like an impassioned speech on Raw about how he's probably going to get sacked even if WWF wins because Vince doesn't want him around. But you know, his
That's
last act or
like.
whatever is to make the titles mean something again. And like, there's a whole lot of titles floating around and all this sort of stuff.
That whole storyline with him is basically he's like, yes, I'm really unhappy here and I'm going to say I'm unhappy. And
Yeah.
that whole, I don't know if you watched the next night on Raw, which I did, because I want to talk about that maybe at the end of it, but the whole
Yeah.
start of that where he was like, he basically quits as
Yeah, on the plane and all.
commissioner.
Yeah. Yes.
You're kind of gone there, but
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. Yeah, when he quits as commissioner, it was basically him being like, get
Yeah.
lost. I'm done, for the moment anyway. I'm fed up.
It seemed that way, even in like reality.
Yeah.
But I, to be honest, I don't have any notes about this Edge and Test match
I
at
really
all.
liked it. I
Ah.
thought, Test, I've always been like, oh, fucking Test. And in the last two or three pay-per-views, I'm like, man, he's had some good, mid-card
He
matches, really
has been a bit
propped up,
solid
it's
the last couple of
and
weeks.
they seem to be getting behind him, which obviously helps. But he had a ma that match with Kane, I thought was really good. This match, there was it was
Yeah.
good. It was a couple of near falls, and just the idea of it went back and forth. I remember Test getting really frustrated,
Yeah, 'cause he
and the fact that Edge
couldn't get the
rolled him
pin.
up with a victory roll or whatever, I thought was really, really good finish.
This was actually a unification
Yeah.
match between these two titles. So imagine if they'd had to get rid of the Intercontinental title.
Well, like by rights they should have, because Edge.
Well, yeah,
because
Edge won, right?
Edge is the WCW champion. And it's like, he's just bought a knife through the heart of the the oldest title in the company.
You're
fired.
This was one of the long, well, it wasn't, I mean, it was 11 minutes long. It was the third longest match of the night. But to be fair, like,
The main event goes on for fucking ever, like.
Like half the show, essentially.
The next match is the tag titles, right?
Yes. The Dudleys with Stacey Keibler fought the Hardy Boys and Lita. Was Lita even there?
No, because Lita was in the match, the six-pack challenge. This is another thing. All of a sudden, Dudley Boys are WCW Tag Team Champions, and the Hardy Boys are WWF Tag Team Champions. It was the other way around last month.
Honestly, I can't keep up. I couldn't even tell you what happened. But they're starting this whole angle of Jeff and Matt feuding.
Splitting off.
And you can see they're sort of, in the weeks after, like, it's like, this match had a lot to do with it, with the fact that, like, you know, we can jump around a bit, but, like, Matt got out of the cage at the end.
No, Jeff. Oh, yeah, Matt got out, and then Jeff went back in.
And then Jeff went to the... Jeff was at the top, and Matt was like, just jump down, and we've won. But he couldn't resist.
He's too much of a risk taker.
Delightfully devilish Swanton bomb through a table, but nobody there.
He bombed, all right. And then
they just pinned
him after that, didn't they?
Yeah, that was it. But the thing that bugs me is, like, in cage matches especially, a big pet peeve is, like, the door is right there. Like, if they really, like, the options, there's too many options in a cage match. You can either win by pinfall or the door or over the top.
Here's my hot take, Cantwell. They should go back to it being kind of like old style. The whole thing with a cage match was that it was always
brutal.
But it was like, you can't, the whole thing was that, like, the reason why you're in a cage is because the heel is a chicken shit and he keeps trying to run away. So it's like, you put him in a cage, there's nowhere to run, you can't escape in the cage, you can't win by escaping the cage. It's pinfall submission inside the cage. That's the way it should be. This whole fucking shite that WWF came up with of, like, and that it kind of, like, dominated cage matches throughout my lifetime, is that, like, oh, you have to escape the cage. So why do I have to escape? How do I win by running away? Like,
You
know?
And you can, and there's a door right there as well. You can just literally walk out and you've won. I actually like the, I would love for them to go back, or for them to do just like a cage, just like a mini Hell in a Cell.
It was
just
the original roof on Hell in a Cell. Like, you know, like, that's what it was. Like, and I know, like, AEW, I know you don't watch a lot of it. It very much seems like it is that old style WCW, like, 80s, like, like, proper wrestling, like, you know, like, where it's like, WWF was always like the big guys with, like, Hogan and Andre kick punch. And, like, WCW had, like, Flair and Sting with these, like, great mat wrestlers and stuff. It seems to be, like, AEW seems to be way more in that style. They had a cage match, and it was that way. You couldn't escape the cage to win. You know, it was...
It was
like a fucking bloody, like, mess. Like,
but that's the thing, because, like, the cage matches now, like, if someone says, oh, you're gonna do it in a steel cage, like, then I know the match is probably going to be...
boring.
There's probably going to be less action than a normal match, like, that, you know, would be on Raw or SmackDown.
It was actually a decent match. You know, you can't really go wrong with the Dudleys and the Hardys.
It was a solid match.
I forgot that, but, like, everybody was getting fired if you weren't a champion by close of business tonight. Like, if your company lost. So, like, the whole
So if a WCW guy still had a title, then he'd still be. He'd still be employed. But they also had a immunity battle royal.
I love the sound of that.
After this match.
Let me tell you. And it was it was weird because there was all these little plot threads that I didn't really know what was going on, where it was like somebody like invaded Taz. Taz was kicked out of the Alliance, was he?
Yeah, he spoke his mind against Austin and he was beaten up. That was it, really. But,
there's a couple of other people just that like invaded the match as well. I'm trying to think who.
Do I have Anton in my notes?
Who invaded it? Like, it was like these.
I just have a note that says the Alliance, give me a break. A lot of my notes just end with give me a break or come on. And I don't really know a few weeks later what I was talking about. But yeah, I think the Alliance came in or something like that. I don't know.
There was a couple of like people that were, I guess they weren't in the Alliance anymore or something, and they ran in to try and
get in.
Yeah, yeah. But
Billy Gunn is there, like
the one Billy Gunn. I'm sorry, what was that?
Get out of here.
Where's my Mr. Ass Man? You know?
I'm an ass man.
What? Hold on.
Mr. Ass was the pinnacle of him.
Yeah, hold on though. His music for the one Billy Gunn music, hold on, is pretty much... hold on, I'm going to play it here.
Play it there.
Can you hear that?
Not at all. Put it close to the mic.
I realise it's coming through my headphones. It is essentially. Well, that could be the outro music, but it's essentially I'm an ass man. It's like.
Just without the ass
and
stuff.
It's like, look at all I got. Instead of like, I'm an ass man. It is ridiculous how similar it is, but also kind of like Bon Jovi-esque. So good.
I like that.
Yeah.
I noticed William Regal, by the way, from earlier, his new heel music, that like daunting whatever, it essentially turns into the Undertaker's music.
I love William Regal's music.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah. I like it. It's clear heel music. So Test wins the immunity battle royal, gaining immunity from the sack.
Billy Gunn was the last one left there. And he eliminated the one Billy Gunn. And then we have a six-pack challenge for the vacant WWF Women's Championship. Why was it vacant, Andy? Can you tell me that? No.
No.
Okay.
And I've been watching it. I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't even take notice that the title's changing hands because it's just like par for the course.
So we had Trish Stratus, Lita, Miss Jackie, Mighty Molly, Ivory, and of course, Jazz.
Jazz, by the way, coming in
hot,
immediately
kicking the head of everybody.
Super hot. Yeah. I was like, Jesus Christ, I can't remember.
She hadn't been on TV at all, had she, before this?
No.
So, like, way to, like, fucking debut her on the last show that you're going to have fucking anything to do with ECW. You just plonk her in here for a six...
I kind of figured she was going to keep going or whatever. Like, what is the point?
She was around after this, but, like... You know, there was 3 fucking 4 months of storyline that you could have had her in. Because she's a killer, like.
She came in and immediately pulled out some unreal move. I was like, Jesus Christ, alright then.
She used to, in ECW, like, she used to wrestle with the men as well, like.
Alright.
Apparently she was inspired to become a wrestler because of Miss Jackie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, and she, I think it was Jason Knight. She beat at ECW Heatwave. Oh, nice. Says Ooh. Here.
I never realized how short Jacqueline was.
Yeah, maybe it was just
really short.
My experience of seeing her at that fateful Insurrection?
Rebellion. It was one of the UK ones. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you saw. Both chesticles.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. It was an awakening moment right there.
I remember there was a few times like that. There's that one. There was the...
The Disabled one.
Maybe the, it was, I was going to say the Miss Kitty.
Oh, yeah.
And who can forget...
Not nearly as impressive. And don't say Mae Young.
No. I was going to say Mae Young. That was one of those, like, I couldn't... Like, I felt like I was watching, like, Jerry Springer or something. Like, I remember
was
that I was
one
up...
Was that 2000?
Like, yeah, and that was... It was on Channel 4,
yeah,
if you remember.
Yeah, I remember.
And they had some mad see-through censored sign that you could still see what was going on.
Oh, and, stop it. My eyes. My eyes.
So, yes. Anyway, the less said about that, the better.
So, Trish Stratus wins her first women's title.
Is it?
Yeah.
Huh.
She... The first time winning the championship, and apparently you could see the work she had put in. Like, she actually... She became their best women's wrestler. Like,
yeah, she was. Yeah.
I think her and Lita were the first women to main event Raw.
Oh,
so like
nice.
Way back when, you know, they were doing that. But like, she went away, got better. Like wanted to learn.
She seems like definitely a step above, and that's even what I remember even from back then.
Like, Lita was
despite
always good.
My teenage hormones, I was still like, you could still clearly see that Trish was the best.
Well, Lita was great as well.
Lita bugs me.
No, but there was a lot of, like, Jackie was a good wrestler, so was Ivory. Like,
yeah, Ivory
Molly,
was good,
Molly
yeah.
was a good wrestler as well, but like, they never let them do anything, you know. They never let them have these matches, and it was always like, they're gonna have a bikini whipped cream gravy mud bowl match.
Yeah, they just had a gravy bowl match with, it was Trish and Stacy Keebler, but like, they were proper putting like chunks of like shit in it. Like, it wasn't just like a mud thing. It was like they were properly just like practically emptying their dinner plates into this thing.
Don't forget their cauliflower.
Then we're anyway.
Into
what did we have after
the
this?
Main event of the evening?
The promo for this main event I just have is awful.
Well, now, I sent you the promo. Did you watch the one?
Ah, no, I didn't watch it.
Oh, Andy, because the one
and
on the
I
WWE Network fucking stinks. But
it was terrible.
But because you know what it is? It's the music.
Right.
The music is like generic. They've lost the rights. But if you look it up on YouTube, it's Puddle of Mud. Is it?
My eyebrows are raised.
Is it Control? Is that a song? I can't control you. You can't control.
Oh, yeah,
but like
yeah.
that bit where it's like they're kind of breaking it into like the teams, and it's like, I love the way you look at me, and it's like Shane O'Mac doing his like on the.
Deadly.
Like, why you look at me? I feel the pain you place inside. You lock me up inside your dirty cage. Well, I'm alone inside my mind. I'd like to teach you all the rules. I get to see them set in stone. I like it when you chain me to the bed, but then your secrets never show. Release me from the turner cage. It's one of the best promos. That's like, it gives me goosebumps every time.
Right. Well, maybe that can be the end song.
I'm sorry. It has to be the one Billy Gunn.
Which one is it?
The one.
The one Billy Gunn. We're wasting it.
I'm putting my foot down. Well.
Fine. Go on. I picked like the last 10, to be fair. The
You never gave me fucking X-Pac. I'm still waiting.
X-Pac? I'll never give you X-Pac.
I got everything I ever wanted, and I'm going to give it back. Hello, hello. You hate X-Factor.
That just dwindled away, by the way. It dwindled. And then all of a sudden, Albert is with fucking... I don't know who he's with now. It's not X-Pac, anyway. I think it's like... I think it might be Tess, or I don't know.
No, I think that was... Oh, maybe. TNA? No, maybe that was beforehand. TNA?
No, TNA hasn't formed yet.
No, I think they've been and gone like already.
Oh, right. My next note, Terry, if I may.
Sure.
The Undertaker riding his bike around the ring.
Hella dangerous.
I find this so... I find it so unpleasing. They have to move the steps. He goes super slow. He's practically walking a half the way with his legs. It just like, just give it up. Like, it's terrible.
But he can't even enjoy it. Badass, Andy.
Well, I don't like it.
You've done it now.
You're gonna be a beat. And he had that song as his theme tune like two pay-per-views ago.
All just on one. Assholes ass. You're gonna pay. You're gonna pay.
He had it like 2 months ago for one night. Because I remember saying on this podcast, like, oh, he has it. And then, like, the next night, it was like, rolling.
It's weird. It's like when they lose the rights to. Because, like, I think it was that they lost the rights to the Kid Rock music.
Oh, right.
Because remember, he had American Badass.
American Badass, yeah.
Yeah. But they lost the rights to the Kid Rock music. So that's why they have that, like, you done it. No, that's a WWE music. And they still have the rights to the Limp Bizkit one. They must, because he had rolling at this pay-per-view.
Yeah. So he's had it pretty much consistently since I've started watching it. But just that one time he had You Done It Now, like 2 months ago. I thought they were going to. Big fan of the animosity in this episode or this pay-per-view between JR and Paul Heyman. Yeah. It's proper like, oh, shut up. You know, like they're properly having to go. Yeah. JR like, what are you looking at, Booker? Like, he's proper giving it. He's giving it like he's feeling it. Like,
you haven't had that sit beside this guy for the last 3 months. But it's actually, like they're like best of buds or whatever.
Yeah. I love that they're great mates. Like,
but like when the lights are on, it was like, okay, like we'll needle each other, and like it is a genuine reaction as well. It's like, shut up, Heyman. Like,
yeah. Yeah, you can tell they're friends even by the way they argue. Yeah.
I always love it when JR says something and Heyman's like, what? Like, you know, like
Heyman will just stare at JR as JR continues talking to the camera, and JR is like, just looking him up and down. Like, stop. But my next note here is, I am not a fan of Jericho's opening video mesh 3D thing.
Yeah, the other one was better. Like, and the like countdown.
Because it's sort of like it turns, but it doesn't turn all the way. Yeah. And it's like, it just looks terrible. I wish he'd change it.
Yeah, he does change it, I think, when he leaves and comes back. And it's like,
oh, right.
Only somebody can save us. Or it was the thing. And it was like, save us, Y2J. And then he's like,
oh, right.
You know? That guy, like Jericho, is the master of reinvention.
Yeah,
like he did like Y2J, and then the next thing he did was like that kind of, he wore the Jericho who wore a suit, he was in like trunks and like talked slowly, and then like they had the Jericho, I don't know if you remember when he came back with like the flashing jacket.
Yeah, I remember that.
And, like, right. He wouldn't say anything. He'd just come out and, like, wouldn't say anything. Like, yeah. And then just walk off. Like,
for, like, 5 weeks in a row. Yeah,
like, the crowds are like, oh, say something. He's like, okay. And then just, like, fuck off. And then, like, he had the list of Jericho, like, which was best thing on the show they had. And now he has, that was like, awesome.
Why am I on the list?
Yeah. And now,
remember that?
Now he has his thing in AEW where it's, like, he's Le Champion. He's... Like the demo god is what he calls himself, because they're in a,
the demo god,
because they're in like a ratings war with NXT, and it's like whenever he's on, like the demographic, like 18 to 49 or whatever, you know that.
Yeah.
Like the young males, like they all tune in. So he's like, look at the spike here, the demo god, like.
Brilliant. Yeah, I have to watch AEW. I wish it was so easier to obtain.
Like, I told you. I gave you the link.
I can't watch it on me stupid TVs though.
You can actually.
I can't.
Why can't you?
How can I?
You have internet on your TV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't have like a search thing on
it. Yeah, you do.
I don't.
I'm going to talk you through this after this episode, all right?
Okay, yeah. Great. Okay, we'll do it.
Got that moron.
Now, my next note, I'm going to jump a bit because, you know, I don't have a lot to say about this
one. He had the title and now he doesn't have it.
The
WCW title. The Rock has it for some reason.
Did The Rock beat Jericho for it?
He must have, because he has it. Remember, Jericho beat The Rock. He couldn't win the big one, and then he won the big one. And now...
Oh, yeah, and then The Rock won it back.
Yeah.
Yeah, my memory's a little hazy on that one there, Mary. But I may have been blowing a little smoke up your ass there, Mary. I have...
The biggest stalker of us all.
I tell you, nothing makes me laugh more than
a good something about
Mary reference or quote. Yeah.
It's like we found your friend in the front seat. Like, the hitchhiker.
How many hitchhikers? Like, my whole life.
Like, he's like, you son of a bitch, you'll fry. And then, like, after he's like, no harm, no foul. Like,
what a move.
Such a good I was just peeing. Yeah, we were all just peeing. Like.
I have here Kurt tapping out to the sharpshooter and quick.
That's all part of the plan, Andy.
Oh, do you think? Oh.
He's tapping out to the shit shooter. Like, you know, get it right.
I was just giving out about the Rock
shooter.
Yeah, but about the fact that he never gets a tap from it. And then lately, he's been getting taps from it.
It fucking sucks. Look at how Bret Hart does it. And so perfectly executed. And like Owen Hart did it as well. And it was like...
The excellence of execution.
100%. Right? It was a work of art watching them do it. And then like you look at The Rock. And so, yeah, even Austin tries to do it. It's like, what are you doing? Like...
They use it as this like...
But it's like...
It seems like this like...
When Bret
default
Hart
move.
Did it. He was like, he had your body perfectly craned. He's sitting back on the small of your back and like wrenching you up. When The Rock does it, it's like, you're on your belly and your legs are kind of in the air, twisted.
A little bit.
And you're like, ah!
And it's The Rock who looks more uncomfortable. The Rock
looks like he's taking a shit.
Yeah,
like,
yeah! Like, you're the one applying the move. Like, stop screaming. Like.
So Big Show is eliminated first, I believe.
I think it's Shane O'Mac.
I think Shane eliminates the Big Show.
Oh.
Because...
Pardon me.
Then... Like, everybody hits the finisher on Shane. And Jericho is the last one. You think he hits a lion salt.
Oh, yeah, they all do. Yeah, yeah. I remember
and then,
that.
like Kane gets eliminated pretty quick with, like, a kick off the top rope by Van Damme. I know you have to get rid of people, but, like...
There was too much, like, the... I know we're kind of flip-flopping, but, like, the pin on Jericho by Austin was just a real, like, nothing. Like, he didn't have his, like... It was like he was sort of like rolling him up a little bit, but he didn't, like, he wasn't on top of him. His back was just flat. It was like a nothing thing, but his legs are sort of kicking like, oh, I can't get out. But like, he could have easily just lifted an arm.
It was like a shitty roll up, like.
Yeah, it was nothing. Yeah. And it was a shittily applied roll up, if I may say.
So like, Undertaker got eliminated by Angle. After Austin hit a stunner and put Angle on top. Good, yeah. Austin is the leader of the alliance. That was the whole thing going into it. It was like, you know, would Austin lead by example? Or, you know, who Vince had a mole in the alliance and they kept saying it was like Austin. Nobody trusted Austin.
Yeah.
The Rock eliminated Booker after a roll-up. Like, Van Damme got eliminated
That's
by
the
Jericho.
Thing, like- Imagine if that was in a normal one-on-one main event. Yeah. Like, you know, a little roll-up. Like, no finishers, really. Like,
I would say, like, Survivor Series matches are, like, some of my favorite matches, like, when they're doing well.
Yeah.
Like, this one was not
this
done well.
This one is not.
No, it's not done well.
In fact,
well at
I
all.
Think this is possibly the worst one of the four that we've watched pay-per-view-wise.
Yeah.
Blow my wad early here, Terry.
Oh, boy. Is there only been really... four? Jeez, seems like it's been more.
I know. This is the fourth one. So it sort of goes...
Fifth one. Has to be.
No.
We had the invasion. We had SummerSlam. We had when Kurt Angle won the title. We had Triple Threat main event. And we had this one.
Huh. Anyway. Once again, I'm incorrect on that one. So The Rock... Gets like rock bottomed from Austin at one point.
Pretty good.
There's a lot of people doing each other's finishers around this point, yeah. I noticed. And finishing them with them as well. Not just like a bit of novelty.
I did think Austin was really good in this match, I have to say.
Yeah.
I thought he was really good. Like,
you're sharp.
Yeah. Like, and you're like, you underrate him as a performer almost, like in the ring, because you forget like how good he can be in the ring because of all his outside the ring antics are so memorable, but like he could be such a good wrestler.
You know what I found, I totally agree with that. Like, he's so solid. But like, one thing I noticed about him on this watch around is how much he kind of rides the energy of the crowd better than anyone. You know what I mean? Like, if the crowd's gone mad, like, he's right there, like, with the perfect sort of energy to match it.
Yeah.
And like, he tends to match the crowd like perfectly. And he had a bit of like a couple of weeks where he was finding his feet as a heel, but after that, I think it's some of his best work. Like,
yeah, I think he was off to the races. Like when he becomes, like I say, the weird sort of sociopath, like, and like then he became this sort of weird dictator to the Alliance as well. Yeah. Like,
it's weird, like cult leader or something like.
Yeah, almost like, you know.
And so like, yeah.
So Angle gets eliminated by the Rock, and then. So then it was like Jericho got eliminated by Austin. Then like he hit the Rock with
a chair? Title or a chair or something like that. Yeah, and I have to say I like how the Rock takes a chair shot.
Yeah,
he proper like is just limbs flailing everywhere. Like he always lands with a flop as well. Yeah. Like,
and it was good because like. JR going mental, he's like, oh, that the ego was, you know, and like Heyman's like, it's over, and like, you know, he's like, Jericho has cost the WWF, like,
and they've really done a great job with this Jericho thing, and they do it like as the weeks continue of slowly turning him heel. Like, it's very organic. Like, it starts with a little misunderstanding with the Rock, and then it turns into a full-fledged, like, hatred sort of thing.
Yeah, and who better to, like,
have
him off against, like... So then it kind of gets down to, you know, ref bump, and then Austin and The Rock. And Austin hits the stunner on The Rock. Like, so by rights, he has the match won, but the ref is out. When he tries to, like, revive Hebner... Oh, you son of a...
Excuse me.
Then Angle runs down, hits Austin with the title.
Stop it! Oh my God, it's over! I can't believe it! It's finally over! The legacy of the World Wrestling Federation dies here! Cover!
But there's no referee!
Damn it!
He knocked his own referee out!
It was unintentional!
And then he inadvertently ran over Earl Hebner. And the Rock's starting to stir it with nobody.
Here comes Kurt. Thank God.
Son of a... Oh! Kurt Angle just did Austin! The Rock got him! The Rock got him!
And it's over. 1, 2, 3.
That's it.
And like Heyman's
reaction.
It was
all a ruse. Yeah. And Stephanie was good as well backstage.
Yeah.
Just, no. I mean, it was never in doubt, really. But
no, I always had a like. I'm like, oh, when we get to Survivor Series, it's gonna be great. Like, and I was like, no, not so much.
Yeah, I don't know what maybe the best one was that we've watched.
SummerSlam.
Maybe SummerSlam. Yeah, I think
SummerSlam was definitely like the best one. You had the Jeff Hardy RVD ladder match, I think. And you had Austin and The Rock. And Austin and Angle, sorry, as Angle's the babyface.
That
baby
was
face.
Deadly.
And it was
fucking
deadly. Like,
that was really good. They were probably two of the best matches of the whole year, I think.
Yeah. Like the next night I watched as well.
Yes.
Because I remember it very fondly. And
is this the formation of the Vince McMahon Kiss My Ass Club?
Well, that too, yeah. But I also thought it was very tame. I remember it being way more. Maybe it was just when JR had to do it.
Yeah.
They really like a bit. Wrote but, this.
Honestly, then he was trying to get Trish to do it a few weeks later, and I mean, it was so rapey.
Like, did she do it?
Proper, he was proper just like you know...
But she...
Like, just, like, real, like, just uncomfortably, like, just, like, I'm going to undo my belt and all this sort of stuff. And she's, like, sort of weeping in the corner. And it's like, oh,
God.
And then The Rock eventually comes to her rescue. But, Jesus.
So, I did like the whole thing of, like, how now they've done a successful job of turning Angle heel. Because he's like, I saved the company.
Yeah, no one's and, like, nobody's giving him like, props. You gotta
give me my kudos. Where are my kudos?
Yeah. I love, like, it's like desperate Kurt Angle again, like,
and like Vince is the bad guy because he's so like smug and you know he's like get this woman out of my ring, like, yeah, to his daughter
to Stephanie, yeah,
and then
Vince is all over. Vince comes out every like 10 minutes on
God Raw. He was on it like four times or something, yeah. Like, and he goes to give Kurt Angle the WWF title because for some reason, now Austin is not the champion, even though everyone who was a champion was going to keep their jobs, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So that didn't make much sense to me.
Huh.
But, like, and it's a great way to get Austin as a face again, because McMahon is now the heel.
Yeah, they made Austin a face quick straight away, by getting like attacked by the rest of the Alliance. And I was saying to Kerry, I was like,
I guess
this is just them. Yeah, but maybe it wasn't that night on Raw, but maybe it was like the SmackDown or something like that. But like, he gets like 5 or 6 on 1 sort of thing. And I was like, oh, they're just cementing him as the face now.
Right, okay. Interesting. You
know? Yeah, it was very clear.
Because like Austin, yeah, like basically, well, the whole big reveal is that like, he is interrupted. Vince is interrupted by the Nature Boy.
Yeah.
Ric Flair. I bet great. On a winner last night, I tell you, baby.
Is that Dusty?
Yeah, I think it's more Dusty than than Flair.
When Flair came out, he was fucking Bret. And he looked great as well.
I can't believe how great he looked.
He looks
like,
brilliant.
How old is he then? Like 50 though, I guess?
I guess, yeah.
Yeah, like, you know.
Oh, he looks amazing, and he was, and like, he's been in it now for a couple of weeks. He's been great. I totally forgot about this angle.
We are partners.
Yeah.
So he's 71 now. So he was like 52 then.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, he was on the latest fucking pay per view. Ric Flair
was he?
Yeah.
Brilliant. Still going strong.
Jesus. But yeah, that whole thing. I don't know if you ever like seen like Vince, the whole thing of him tugging at his ear.
Yeah.
Do you know what that was?
Yeah, when it was Ric Flair going, we're partners?
Yeah, I think it was because they wanted that. It was like to hit Austin's music, I believe. Like,
oh, is that what? Oh, like he did that?
It was a cue for like,
no
to
way.
Hit the music. Like, so like
I was thinking it was a bit of a weird motion, yeah. All right.
So he was basically said, at his ear, he was like, I'm gonna pull my ear to cue the music. But like for some reason he said it was gonna be real subtle and then it was just like ha, ha,
it couldn't
ha.
Have been more. He's like ha, ha, just gone and then mad like, with it, like. brilliant.
Yeah. So that was that sets up the next few months anyway of like a feud between, you know, Vince and Flair and
yeah.
They do the next pay-per-view where they have the unification, the
oh yes, undisputed title match.
You've already watched that, have you?
I have watched it, yes.
Couldn't believe it when Jericho
at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, I remember that. Like, what? Like, he couldn't say that, and like he did beat them both in the same night.
Out of the four, there it's like, well, he's definitely not winning it. Yeah, like, you know.
I love when they do that, though. They completely surprise it.
Yeah, that's true. Was it Austin was the first match, and Rock was the second, or was it Rock was the first and Austin was the second?
It was Austin beat Angle first, and then Jericho beat Rock, and then straight after, Austin came out, and then they had their match. But that was good.
Yeah, I'm glad we did this little run anyway.
Yeah, we covered pretty much, we didn't really intentionally do it, but we covered the whole invasion angle from start to finish, really.
Yeah, not the worst thing to do.
Yeah, it's been nice. Terry, should we get our plugs in, please?
Sure, okay. Where can they find us online?
They can find us on Instagram. They can find us on Twitter at PutItInHPodcast. They can email us at PutItInHPod@gmail.com. What else can they do, Terry?
I tell you what, if they want to take a little trip over to a little website called Patreon, you can get us there, patreon.com/putinh. We are creating podcasts, apparently. We are doing our sister podcast, What's So Great About, where we take a topic and we try and dive in. What makes it so great? The moment we're doing the Marvel Cinematic Universe, the MCU. We're just coming around the bend to meet old Peter Parker in Spider-Man Homecoming is the next episode. So, you know, we'd be interested to, I'll be interested to see Andy's feelings on that.
Me too.
Who knows, huh? We've had some hits and misses, not everything in between.
Yes, sir. We are also have,
hold on.
A bunch of...
Hold on.
Sorry, this is your gig.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks. We also have a bunch of other bonus episodes that drop every other week. Like I mentioned earlier on, we're doing our Beatlemania episode this week. But we've also done stuff on The Last Dance. We've done one where we talk about all sort of drugs we've taken and various music episodes.
He's not selling it. It's better than that.
It's called the drugs episode. It's great.
It is great.
We've done... What have we done?
We've done a bunch of music ones, emo, metal,
hair metal,
rap, a bunch of ones like that. We're doing the Beatles one coming up this week. We have, there's a bunch of stuff there.
Yeah, all loads
check it out.
Of really
Why don't you see what we've got there?
It's a lot of freeform chat, shall we say.
Yes.
But look, and that's all for the low, low fee of $5 a month. If you can't afford that, well, look, fine, whatever.
That's the least of your problems.
But you got to do me a favor. Do me a solid. Give me some 5-star reviews, please. A rating, a review, you know.
Give them the stars, folks. It
nice little blurb
him.
Saying, these guys are okay. You know what? Even if it's a bad review, I'll read out the review, okay?
Still give us the 5 stars, but you can say whatever you want. But just once you give us the 5 stars and say something, that's very important.
Well, Andy knows more about the mechanics behind it than I do. But yes. So we finished our little wrestling corner experiment, and one of our lovely pin pals, as we call our patrons, had suggested another one for us. So Andy's Wrestling Corner is finished for the moment, but we are going to be diving into Andy's Karate Corner and having a look at the smash hit sensation on Netflix, apparently, Cobra Kai. I don't know how many people are talking to me about this show.
Oh, really?
And they're saying, oh, it's fucking brilliant. It's unbelievable. Okay. You know what it is, do you?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I've seen the ad. I was intrigued by the ad. I'm not going to lie.
Are you a big Karate Kid fan?
I was at the time, I guess, yeah.
Okay. Well,
I liked it at the time. But I'm interested.
So we're going to start with the pilot and see how we go. Who knows?
So,
it could be our shortest experiment
series. Well, look, on that note, Terry... I'm going to say goodbye.
I will also say goodbye.
Okay, that's fine. And yes, thanks for listening. And we'll see you next week. I don't know how to end these.
Goodbye.